This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. I spent the last 10 years building a career, doing what I love, and I share my ongoing journey with you on this show. I've talked a little on this show, especially in the early days, about the idea of living a mini life. Basically, you go to another country or another city, and you live your normal life for a month or 2 months, or in the case of our guest today, 6 months. Mike and Megan left their jobs in Washington, D.C., and before they decided to go anywhere else, they decided they want to have a mini life. So they came to Medellin. It's a great place to have a mini life. I sat down with them in a cafe to hear their story. You're going to hear what was their philosophy behind living a mini life. What did they want to get from the experience? How did they make the decision that the financial investment was going to be worth it for them? And what have they learned from the experience? How has it really tested them? I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. There's going to be some stories here of frustration. We have a new sponsor. Please welcome VideoBlocks. This is so cool, folks. I didn't even know this existed. It's this huge library of royalty-free studio-quality video clips that you can use in your video projects. So let's say that you want to get an aerial shot of the New York City skyline or a polar bear wandering through the Arctic. They've got it. They also have After Effects templates. It makes me want to start a new video project just looking at everything they have. It looks really awesome. Go to videoblocks.com/loveyourwork and try out all of the stock video you can imagine for free for 7 days. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks.com/loveyourwork to save on millions of studio quality clips from VideoBlocks. And we have a new Love Your Work Elite member, Drew Ackerman from the Sleep With Me podcast. Drew is like a celebrity in the podcasting world. He has a hugely popular podcast that helps you sleep. Helps you get to sleep. So it's great to have his support on the show. I'm actually hoping to interview him on the show soon because he has a great story and now he's a supporter of Love Your Work. That's awesome. There's also a new masterclass in Love Your Work Elite. Are you charging a high enough rate for your freelance work? Brendan Dunn is going to show you how to double your freelance rate.
You're selling yourself as a commodity. I'm a freelance web developer. I'm 100 an hour. And then the client's like, well, this guy on Odesk is also a freelance web developer. He wants 10 an hour. So we're open typically to lowering our standards. That's what we're going to try to avoid today because that is a race to the bottom.
Get Brennan's masterclass by joining Love Your Work Elite over at lywelite.com. Our sponsors like VideoBlocks and Skillshare, they help us keep the show going, but we really need the help of listeners like you to keep this thing alive too. And don't forget, you can get 30% off the Love Your Work t-shirt when you join LYW Elite by October 31st. You got to get this shirt. I'm really so thrilled with how they turned out. I think they're really awesome. Again, go to lywelite.com. Here's Mike and Megan.
Here with Mike and Megan, and you are on like an adult study abroad.
Yeah.
What it's called?
Yeah, that works. Grown up study abroad time.
I mean, it's actually on your LinkedIn profile.
Yes, it is. We should probably get a trademark for it, but yeah, that's what we're calling it. We have been in Washington, D.C. for, I've been there for about 10 years. You've been there
13 years.
Well, I went to D.C. for the very typical reason people go to New York or Los Angeles or Silicon Valley. They want to make a name for themselves, figure out how life works, and try to build their sense of self. And it worked out very well for me professionally. Eventually, we just kind of got tired of the rat race. We were just going. We were working opposite schedules. We were newlyweds. We got married about a year and a half ago. And so where we were in our life, we really wanted a change of pace, and we were looking for a way to pivot out. And the more we thought about just moving to a new city or just trying new jobs, we kind of felt like it was just putting on the same jacket, but a different, you know, kind of a hat on the elbow or something like that. Nothing was really fitting.
And then we ended up coming on our honeymoon a year ago. We're looking at that point really mostly at San Diego.
Yeah.
With a couple of other cities. It kind of was this initially a joke. Wouldn't it be nice if we could spend some time abroad? Because we had both studied abroad in college. But like, haha, we could never really do that. We couldn't really afford it. We couldn't blah, blah. During our honeymoon, then it was kind of like, well, money goes pretty far here. Maybe, I don't know. Nah. And like a month later then, so this was last November, is when it started to coalesce into more of a, maybe we should look at the money and see if we might actually be able to do this. It was going to buy us sort of the time to breathe.
We wanted some fresh thinking. We had gotten very accustomed to our life in D.C., but kind of quote-unquote big city life. We really wanted a place where we can a new way of doing things, or a different way of doing things, and see really what was going to stick and what we wanted to chuck as we move forward with our life.
So you had to kind of say, all right, well, let's think about this. Maybe if there were 6 months, what would that cost us? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of look at that number and you're like, how do you make the decision then that this is worth it?
If we were trying to do this in D.C., a month in, I would have been like, oh, we're running out of money. For the same money, we could live for like 6 months here, or two or maybe three in D.C.
Right.
So that was a much bigger chunk of time to actually have some space to plan for what was next.
And also, we were sold on the lot of the quality of life marketing that Medellin brings. So it's a much slower pace. So that was also a very big appeal to us, to not feel like we were going a million miles a minute.
So what's the schedule like?
But I really came into this with zero plans.
Yeah.
I mean, I already speak Spanish. Literally every day well, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do today? Well, there's this thing we could do, or we could do this, or, well, I guess we should get groceries, or, well, you know. And so many things that you took, and I was in D.C. for 13 years, and so I was really established into knowing where everything is, so having to then sort of feel like we're starting over in so many ways of just figuring out how to feed yourself.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just the like, basics. It should be easy, right? But we're on a budget, so we're trying not to eat out every single meal, as tempting as that might be. Things that should be simple, and we're so routine at home, also partly because we're doing the apron and had this easiness of, oh, our box is here, good, we got three meals. There's just so many more decision points every single day.
This is not the panacea to solve all your problems and to figure out your life and everything. It is basically just a different way to experience your life. For us, it's just have some clarity as to what the next couple of steps will be. That's the goal. What's interesting about Medellin, I found, is that it is wholly different. It's Spanish, and a lot of different things are different. But yet it's a Western city, and so there's just enough, I don't want to say similarities to life in North America, but you're like, you go to a grocery store, and you could find virtually everything you want in the grocery store here than you could in the States. It's a different name, it's all in Spanish, but you can find, and there's like 15 kinds of cheeses. So it's been hard to kind of, you're in a wholly different place, but also there's enough similarity where it kind of messes with your mind a little bit.
So you gave up your apartment in D.C., got everything out of it, and then drove all that stuff all the way to California before going on this trip.
Right. Yeah. And we also quit our jobs.
You quit your jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any moments of existential crises or panic at the big change?
My mom came and helped. She stayed for a couple days and helped us pack and get ready. And that moment when she got in her car to drive away was like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Are we really doing this? That, for me, was the moment that months and months and months of talking about this thing suddenly became frighteningly real. Not even leaving my job, that felt all very surreal and weird, but never really, like, hit home. But when my mom got in that car to drive away, I was like, that was the moment for me that was like, oh, can I really do this? Can I really? And it's a little bit different for me, too, because on the other end of this, we expect to be probably on the West Coast. I was a three to four hour drive from family. So it was also a big shift of knowing that, like, this is probably the end of an era of my mom being able to just, like, drive down for the weekend if she wants. I'm very financially motivated. So there's a lot of fears around money and what if we haven't planned enough money, and what if we run out of money, and what if we never find jobs again? You know, very rational.
Yep.
Kind of worst case, you know, we're going to be living under a bridge in 2 months from now because we are way in over our heads and there's no way we can do this.
Megan and I work really well together because I don't care about money, so she cares about it for both of us. But I'm a sucker for adventure and meaning, so I find meaning and kind of like, you know, what's going to happen next, how the grandiosity of doing things. And so I never really struggled with leaving D.C. because in the back of my mind, and then very quickly in the forefront.
You were going to be closer to family.
Exactly. I was going to be closer to family. Yeah, and it was also just, you know, I live for adventure. So the thrill of the adventure of being in a new country and all that stuff was really exciting for me. And so the big angst was, so a couple weeks ago was the Book and Culture Festival here in Medellin. And it's basically, most book publishers sell books, and it's, you know, you can buy whatever kind of book you want. And I've been to several book festivals in the States, and it's, I love books, I love to read. And so I thought it'd be really fun to go. And little things are starting to get annoying with culture shock and stuff like that. And one of the big things here is that Colombians really don't have a sense of personal space. And so very crowded, and we were just getting bumped all to and fro. And then it was combined with going in all these spaces where I know cognitively, you know, it's all in Spanish. It's all in a language I really don't understand. I know lots of words of Spanish and phrases, but to put them together is still trying to happen in my brain, not really working too well. And it just, there was almost like a sense of sadness of like, oh, there's all these great books and you would see titles that, you know, you can translate in English, but there's like they're all in Spanish. And just, it was that moment of complete lack of understanding about where I was and something wholly other, which I originally going into this found to be very adventurous and fun. I realized I'm like, this is the reality and I'm wholly other, and this is really going to be hard.
Disconnected from this thing that you really love.
Exactly. And so we got to the end, and it was really a frustrating experience, and we got to where we were trying to decide to get some juice. And again, we were struggling with making decisions about juices because there's a lot of exotic foreign juices there that you've never heard of and stuff like that.
And it's not even just a language barrier. They're fruits that we don't have.
Maracuja.
Yeah.
Guanabana.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we were standing on like this metal rail, like a fenced off area. And I forget what exactly happened, but I was looking over and like I got bumped one final time by someone walked behind me, and my phone dropped to the other side of the fence. And like it was just on the other side of the fence. And so there was like this very weird moment of like I'm looking at my phone and here I am, and I like put my hand in between the guardrails and I can't reach it. And I just lost it. I just started the F-bombs left, right, and center.
Really, I can vouch that happened.
Really loud. I feel like I'm in near tears. And then this woman looks at me, and God bless her, she just kind of went over, grabbed my phone, gave it back to me, didn't say anything. And I look at Megan and I go, what the hell is going on? And so that was kind of a real moment of like, you know, this your dream of adventure when it hits the wall of reality. And so that was a real breaking point for me. Normal. We actually talked with an American couple who owns a restaurant. They were like, this is common. You'll get angry about all sorts of stuff, but you'll realize you're in their world. You're not in yours. And so that it was a hard reminder, and we're still trying to figure out, you know, this is, you have to learn to accept things as they do it.
Always lots of things to be learned from these. So thanks for sharing the experience.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope that conversation with Mike and Megan gives you some insight into what it's like to live a mini life. If you've been considering planning a mini life, check out the bonus content for this episode on LYW Elite. About 20 minutes of this conversation ended up on the cutting room floor. I shared some tips that I've learned over the years for planning a successful mini life.
I eventually learned to, before I planned a trip, make a bullet point list of all the weeks and then start thinking about the trajectory. And then there starts to become some action items.
To get the bonus content, join at lywelite.com. And if you're looking for some inspiration to push you to seek a little more adventure in your life, check out Paul Bennett on episode 15. He and his whole family sailed around the world while running their business.
It became one of these conversations that we had of someday we're going to buy a boat and go sailing. And so when the dot-com crash happened and, you know, all those things were kind of conspiring against us, we're like, you know what, let's not wait and do it when we retire or anything like that. Let's go now.
Again, Paul is on episode 15. I work hard to help you crack the code on fulfilling work. If Love Your Work is helping you, there are some ways you can help support the show and make it even better. One is to subscribe. This is especially effective on Apple Podcasts or iTunes because it boosts rankings and helps others find the show. I know many of you listen on Overcast because you're the early adopter types. So even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please subscribe there anyway. Subscribe in your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple TV, your computer. The more devices, the better. It really helps. Apple Podcast ratings help too. Just go to cadavy.net/apple, click on write a review, and click on the star rating. You don't even have to write a review. It just takes a couple of seconds. You can also join Love Your Work Elite. You'll get access to episodes before everyone else. You could even get ad-free interviews weeks in advance, and you can get your name or business mentioned in the credits of the show. For details, go to lywelite.com. That's lywelite.com. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by top Love Your Work Elite members such as Arif Akhtar and Ed Stanfield of startwithclarity.com. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for the show is More Streets, performed by Spiderflower. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.